Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Today's quote is read for us by the dashing Santiago Cabrera.
I suspect that many things that have been known through the centuries as the supernatural, and many things that we refer to today as the paranormal or supernatural, are really not supernormal or supernatural at all. They are abilities that we have not yet learned to use.
And it is my pleasure to welcome back our guest host this week, Joey Clift, comedian and TV writer, currently writing on Spirit Rangers on Netflix. Welcome back, Joey.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Thanks for having me back. This is real fun.
So why don't you go ahead and jump in with your thoughts on this quote? What was your takeaway from this?
So I think that this quote is very, very, very spot on in a lot of ways that I think that like your average person might not necessarily get, speaking as an indigenous person. Oftentimes exploring cultures, conquering cultures, whatever, however you want to put it, will see things from other cultures that they won't understand, and they'll immediately assume, oh, that's magic, that's supernatural, or this is just some weird thing that like I don't get. And like an example of that would be like when the Lewis and Clark expedition was going west, they talked about how they didn't really see any like infrastructure, you know, as far as like, you know, the kind of the tribes that they came across on their, you know, journey of discovery. And because of that, you know, they viewed these tribes as primitive, whereas these tribes actually had like very complex, you know, farming situations set up, very complex, like agricultural systems set up. They just like didn't look what a European guy would think of as farming or agriculture. So like that looked sort of super normal or supernatural to the Lewis and Clark expedition. What I think that Gene Roddenberry is saying in this quote is that rather than these things that we don't understand being supernatural or supernormal and us not having learned to use them yet, it's more like we just don't understand them yet. They're probably very normal and practical to the cultures that are using these things. But like to us, because we don't know, we're just like, oh, people do a magic, you know?
I want to jump in and say, I'm looking at the quote a little literally. I agree with what you said, Joey. But I also I always say, like, if I could use the other 90% of my brain, I could walk through this wall because I could rearrange my molecules probably. And that would be magic, right? Or things that we could do if we could access other sides. Like, Joey, I wrote a book about getting in touch with your intuition, right? And I'm really intuitive. Sometimes I know things and people always say to me, how do you know that? Partially, I'm a very good detective. Very good deducting. No, I do. I have super good deducting skills. But the other part is something I don't know. A word pops in my brain and go, oh, you wrote that about your cousin. And I don't know where it comes from. So some people might go, ooh, that's supernatural that you can pick up on the energy. And I'm like, no, it's just that other 0.25% of my brain opened up, you know, 1% of 1% of 1% of my brain let me access that. Some people look at it as, woo, mystical and magical. And I'm like, it's not. It's just a part of me. It's my intuition. So that's looking at the quote literally normally. But back to what Joey said, I agree. When we see things that are different, we go, ooh, supernatural, scary, or different, or weird, or we don't understand it. Or, as you pointed out with European people, they tend to downplay it. If they don't recognize it, it must not be good, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I have no idea how my microwave works, and I just assume it's magic, but that's just because I don't know how my microwave works.
That's kind of a dark magic, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
I refuse to have a microwave.
And it's not very effective magic. Like, it really heats my things, like, just not evenly. So it's not good magic.
Wait, Joey and Trent, does anything ever taste like food? I think everything just tastes hot out of a microwave. That's why I stopped eating. I'm like, literally everything tastes identical. It all just stays hot. But anyway, back to this quote, Trent. What do you think?
You know, when we think back to like early man seeing lightning for the first time or seeing fire for the first time and not understanding what it was, and stories came up that, you know, it's a god up in heaven hitting a hammer on an anvil.
What do you mean? You say that with cynicism in your voice, Trent. There's a god.
Well, that's the story that was the myth that they were,
yeah,
how, they didn't know.
Trent,
how,
yeah, you got a problem with lightning, Trent? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you don't think Zeus got a thunderbolt pointed at you right now?
Well, now
Trent?
I'm kind of worried that maybe he does. But, you know, my point was just, you know, when humans don't understand something, they have to go inward with the world that they know. So, you know, Zeus is a blacksmith or I don't know, maybe I'm getting my gods mixed up, but
Joey, he's going to piss Zeus off so hard right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If Trent is not on the next episode of this podcast, it's because he was struck by lightning.
You'll have heard it here first. Yeah.
No, I get it. It's a bit of the hubris of man, I think you're saying, in a sense, to invent a god, to explain something outside of ourselves, right?
Total hubris.
It must be supernatural
if we
can't explain it.
And it was also used nefariously when you think about, you know, the wise women who lived on the outskirts of a village and, you know, managed to figure out certain herbs cured illnesses, and, you know, people assumed it was magic, so therefore they must be a witch, and because it's magic and it's evil, they must be burned. And
yeah, no, God help you if you were a woman with some herb knowledge 400 years ago.
And we also look at like, oh, if a woman in the 1700s has two cats, she must be a witch. When maybe she just like doesn't
want to
be married.
Joey, I'm taking that very personally, Joey.
No, I'm on the other side of that, where it's just like, oh, or maybe she just likes cats. That's also fine. Like, you know.
Or maybe she's a witch.
Oh.
I think we definitely use a lot of things to explain a lot of things. And, you know, I don't want to harp too much on religion, but we all know that has been used in society throughout the years to control people as well. I mean, in slavery, you know, was a huge thing to quell the people, to give them Jesus. I'm pretty sure, Joey, you're an advocate for Native American rights. I'm pretty sure religion was used back in the day to quell, you know, the people and put them in line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Manifest Destiny was the idea that conquering the rest of the country was divine want. So it's like, yeah, that's like, it's just like used as justification for oppressing people forever, right?
Which, by the way, we're all ethnic. Everybody's ethnic, even white people listening. You're ethnic, so we're all ethnic. But the three of us, we've got someone who's Mexican-American. Me, I'm black and Jewish. We have Joey. I think we're all from groups where they have a little magic, right, in our cultures. And we're all from cultures that have been squashed by religion. So Manifest Destiny, I want to steer away from, because we've talked about it in other episodes. But I will say, as a child, I don't know about you guys, really annoying to be taught how great it was and how much we all loved it and how much, you know, Africans love being. In my textbooks, you guys, it said Africans love being slaves because we had houses. So
yikes.
If that ain't magic, to some kind of dark magic to spin it that way, I don't know what is. And yes, Gene Roddenberry, I'm saying that because I don't understand how that possibly could have happened that way. To jump back to the subject, if we could unlock our brains, our power, our technology, I think a lot of things we considered magic. Like, I think, do you guys think we'll be able to fly? I want to fly.
I want to be able to. That would be cool.
I do think if we get to that point, Rachel, when you mentioned earlier about like we only use 10% of our brain, but if we have access to the other 90%, even 50 more percent, I completely agree with you that I think we will unlock abilities that are natural to us, but we just don't know how to use them yet.
But I feel like even with supernatural stories, like just to kind of go back to the topic at hand, there is a level of like practicality to supernatural stories, like my tribe, the Cowlitz tribe. It's like, we have like a lot of legends about like how it's important to, like, if you're a kid, don't go, like, out into the woods alone at night. And, like, the reason in the legend is there's a monster out there. But the practical reason is, like, you might get eaten by a bear if you do that. So just, like, we're going to say it's, like, a Bigfoot or whatever. But, like, you know, I think but that's, like, a practical reason that the legend exists, you know?
Have you guys ever experienced anything that is actually magical, by the way, that isn't? Because you're right. That can all be explained. Most legends, most myths are all there for very practical reasons.
Oh, I mean, once again, as a TV writer who's bad at science, that I'm talking to all of you over video chat is magic to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I lit some sage around my laptop and then I open it up and then I assume the sage is why I can talk to all of you over Zoom now.
You guys live in a little box in my computer. It's not magic.
Yeah, 100%.
You live inside the screen.
Yeah. When you close your computer, we go to sleep.
I think it's interesting that, like, I just came from a doctor's appointment, and I'm always in my back of my mind, I always remember, they know nothing about our body. They know 10% of our body, just like the ocean. They only know 10% of what is happening. So in some ways, I think life is magical.
100%.
You know, we still don't know what a soul is, right? We don't know what it is. You know, do you know that vets don't even, doctors don't know why cats purr? They can't tell you how cats purr. That's how little we know about anything. So everything seems like magic to me. It's true. You know what? When people are nice to me sometimes, just genuinely nice, not because they have to be like you guys. No, it's magic when people are genuine.
Yeah.
The energy around us is magic.
I definitely like to believe that magic exists. I can't point to a specific thing that I can say I saw it and that made me an absolute believer, but I do believe that magic has to exist. There are two things that I associate with what I think magic is. One, when you think about how music, something that doesn't exist, it's an oral entity that we hear and we process. Like, music is so connective with people who have nothing in common, who will never meet, who may not even speak the same language, but it resonates with different people across the planet. And second, love. When people, as varied as we are, there's so many people on this planet and we have so many different temperaments and personalities and we change and we grow, and something that we like today, we don't like tomorrow. When two people find one another and they genuinely care and love for one another, where they want to continue to grow and adapt and learn from and impart knowledge to for a lifetime, that is what I think magic is.
That's a magical fairy tale. No, it's not cynical today.
Actually, I think that to me, and this is either going to be a very pessimistic thing to say or a very optimistic thing to say, depending on how you want to lean on it. I think that just like basic human empathy to me is magic. And by that, I mean, every time I witness it and every time like it happens to me, I just feel like a warmth inside that, you know, it feels magic, for lack of a better term. Like, I remember an early pandemic story for me is when there was like a run on toilet paper, I went to like a Smart and Final near where I live and like found like two things of toilet paper. I grabbed both of them, and then this like older man walked up to me and he was like, is there any left? And like, I looked at my two things of toilet paper and I looked at him and I said, I mean, this is it, but you can have the other one. And then he thanked me. And then as he was walking away, a third guy walked up and said, hey, wait a second. I think there's extra toilet paper in this cardboard box. And there was like a stack of cardboard boxes. But we need to work together to lift it up. So me and these two other guys lifted up this toilet paper box, tore it open. And then all of us got toilet paper. And that was just from like having basic human empathy for each other. It's all of a sudden we all helped each other out to get toilet paper.
What,
you know?
That's such a lovely pandemic moment to have.
That's magic to me. That is magic to me.
No, I find magic in little things all the time. But I'm also a dreamer, and Mr. Roddenberry wasn't, I'm agnostic, you know, I kind of hedge my bets and then I believe in things. And then there's a lot of things I do believe in. Mr. Roddenberry didn't necessarily, so I think he was talking more of just tech coming in and showing us the way. But I like that the three of us here are a little bit dreamy about the whole thing, you know, because there could be, You know, there really could be. I'm expecting a mage to walk out of my closet at any time and show me some magic.
That'd be cool.
What? See, wouldn't it? Yeah. All right. We want to thank Joey for coming by today and being such a great guest.
Thanks for having me.
And if you would like to watch any of our videos, you can check them out on the Roddenberry social media networks on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry, Zeus Willing. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We're at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.